Leading as an example. Out the window. Well, trust in God with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, Max Lucado once said about salvation is, if there are 1,000 steps between us and God, he will take all but one. He will leave the final one for us. The choice is ours. That explains what free will is all about. Max Lucado said that. I'll say that again. If there are 1,000 steps between us and God, he will take all but one. He will leave the final one for us. The choice is ours. So he'll take 999 steps towards us and leave that last one, that one, to finalize that 1,000th step to us. Anybody know who William Booth is? Leader and organizer of the Salvation Army? He said once, work as if everything depended upon your work, and pray as if everything depended upon your prayer. These are both great leaders in the church, the Christian church, the Protestant church, in different areas, different ways, but they also are people who people look to for examples. I gave you two examples right there. There's something else I want to share with you. Resolved that all men should live for the glory of God. Second resolution is that whether others do or not, I will. Can you say that in your life today? Think about those things throughout the day. Think about those things throughout our lesson, throughout our scripture, throughout our message, and you'll know some of the things, pressures, and everything it is, and what it means to be a leader. Each one of us is a leader. Each one of us is an example to somebody. Somebody is looking at you, and somebody is watching you in some way, shape, or form, whether it be as a Christian example or not. But whether you like it or not, as a Christian, when people know you are a Christian, you are an example. You are being watched. You are being seen by others. And people are saying, that's what a Christian is in that person's eyes. And if that's what they know, or if that's the only person they know, you, who professes to be a Christian, you are the only gauge they have to go by as to what so-called Christianity is. So, leading and learning to lead as an example. To understand what I mean by this, learning to lead as an example, leading as an example, we should first define lead. Lead, guide, direct, pull along with. But that's not the best way. Teaching is to come alongside and to bring along with you, not to drag along behind you. Teaching is not something where you pour out knowledge, dump, information dump. It's something where you together experience, go through, and learn together. Good teachers are those who actually learn as their students learn. Sure, you may have the experience and the knowledge of maybe going through the same thing or a similar thing beforehand, but teachers who teach, not just pour out information and information dump, are those who actually come alongside and bring along in a journey of knowledge and learning and understanding. Here in 1 Timothy 4, Paul takes and he talks to Timothy. And I want to give you a little bit of background here. Timothy is a young man. Now, to take this portion of Scripture, the first thing is a lot of things, and I want to explain to you that this Scripture can be taken out of context and used to do a lot of things. One of the things I saw this year is the youth of our yearly meeting have taken it and said this is going to be our verse for the year. And I say that's great, because we have a lot of great young leaders in our yearly meeting. The thing is, though, what are they keying in on? Are they keying in on the fact that this portion of Scripture, verse 11, where it says, or verse 12, I said, don't let anyone look down on you for being young. Is it a pride thing? Or is it a matter of, see me for who I am before you judge me? Let me be known for what I am as far as a Christian instead of a young person. See me for who I am in Christ. Give me the benefit of the doubt before doubting the benefit of knowing me. That's one of the things I say a lot, because it's one of the things that a lot of people didn't do for me. Before, when I was a young Christian with my history and my life, before I became a Christian, a lot of people would not give me the benefit of the doubt, and they doubted the benefit of knowing me. So, they would not see me for who I could be or who I was now. All they could see was who I had been. So, the youth of our yearly meeting have taken this verse and said, this is going to be our year verse, and it's a great challenge verse, and it's a wonderful verse to latch on to. And it's a challenge for them to rise up and become stronger leaders than they already are. We have a lot of great young leaders, and one of them sitting right there in the back row. Kelsey. She is one of the great young leaders of our youth, and I'm very proud of what she's doing with the Youth Executive Board. Is that what you guys are calling yourself still? Okay. What they are bringing to the table as far as planning for the summer senior high and junior high camps has saved a lot of headaches and a lot of trouble for the board that I'm on. And we have been blessed by their leadership. And I thank God for them. But other youth may be tempted to say, don't look at me because I'm young, and say that I'm nothing, and take it out of context and use it for something else. But that's not what I'm here to talk about today. I'm here to talk about what it means to lead. And we can all learn from this. Now, Timothy was not necessarily a young man. He was about a 20 to 30-something year old man, probably around the age of, say, Isaac, when he went and led the church in Ephesus. Timothy had visited the church in Ephesus with Paul and Luke several times. And they had a problem there that had also been experienced in another church in Colossae. A problem with Gnosticism. Gnosticism is basically an idea, a mindset that knowledge and spirit are good. Material and body are bad. So as long as I'm locked in this body of mine, I will always be sinful. Period. I can never be a unsinful creature. I will always be a sinful creature. Period. And that's wrong teaching as far as what we know from Scripture. Jesus can take and make you a new creation. So Paul sent Timothy to there in Ephesus to correct this thinking, to lead the church. The problem was he was a lot younger than the people that were already there. I've experienced that. As a pastor, you come into a church and you're the youngest person there as far as the major players in the church. And you're supposedly the leader. You're the pastor. So what happens is you're looked at and you say, okay, who's this young punk coming in trying to be our pastor, telling us how things need to be? We've always done things this way, and that's the way it's going to stay. And if he doesn't like it, he can go. And that's really what Timothy met up with. So Timothy, this is about AD 62. It's about 2 years after Paul got out of prison in Rome. And they went there and they dropped him off. And he said, good luck, which I don't believe in luck. He said, God bless you. And said, do your best to lead them. And now let me read the scripture for you. Verse 6, you are a good servant of Christ Jesus when you point these things out to our brothers and sisters. Then you will be nourished by the words of the Christian faith and the excellent teachings which you have followed closely. Don't have anything to do with godless myths that old women like to tell. Rather, train yourself to live a godly life. Training the body helps a little, but godly living helps in every way. Godly living has the promise of life now and in the world to come. This is a statement that can be trusted and deserves complete acceptance. Certainly, we work hard and struggle to live a godly life because we place our confidence in the living God. He is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Insist on these things and teach them. Don't let anyone look down on you for being young. Instead, make your speech, behavior, love, faith, and purity an example for other believers. Until I get there, concentrate on reading Scripture and worship, giving encouraging messages, and teaching people. Don't neglect the gift which you received through prophecy when the spiritual leaders place their hands on you to ordain you. Practice these things, devote your life to them so that everyone can see your progress. Focus on your life and your teaching. Continue to do what I've told you. If you do this, you will save yourself and those who hear you. An encouraging letter? Yes. A chastisement in the middle of there? Yes. Can you hear it? It starts right there where he says, training the body helps a little in verse 8. You see, Timothy was one who was hooked on asceticism. He was one hooked on the body needs to be purified. The body needs to be cleansed. And I don't know whether you've seen some of the things where, well, I hate to even mention it, where you see some of these monks walking around smacking themselves in the head with boards and chanting. Well, sort of similar to that is what asceticism is like. Sort of self-mutilation almost, pain, is what it can border on. But I don't think Timothy was into it that bad. But he was into the whole idea of asceticism where you have to neglect the body, the simple pleasures and things like that. So he was probably heavy into fasting and heavy into the sort of things like that to show that he was pure, to show that he was godly. So Paul's telling him, you don't need to do all that. You just need to live out what you know. And most of all, what's he telling him to do in the worship services? Or when they gather? Read the scriptures. Go on the power of the word. Don't go on your own power. Just like what we heard shared out of Proverbs in the children's message. Don't focus on yourself. Lean not on your own understanding. But let God's power lead and direct them. So, here we have it. We have Timothy, who was prone to neglect his pastoral duties and personal life, his personal devotion life, and he was actually hurt himself physically, his body physically, for spiritual purity. And he was there to clean house. 2 Timothy 1:4 tells us that this whole house cleaning, it was a painful thing. I remember the tears, and I want to see you so I can be filled with happiness. He went there and he cleaned house and he sent people packing. And it saddened Timothy's heart. And Paul was telling him in 2 Timothy, in the second letter, that I know it saddened your heart to have to kick people out. It hurt them and it hurt you, but you had to do what you had to do. Because they were not living and going in the way. So, here we go. Timothy's in the church at Ephesus. He's trying to lead as an example. He has the simple, same, everyday problems we all have. He has a tendency to neglect his duties and himself. And Paul's trying to encourage him to just get back to the basics. Remember God's forgiveness. Start there. And then move forward. So, how do we lead? First, we learn. We learn how to lead. Verses 6 through 8 tell us, you are a good servant of Christ Jesus when you point these things out to our brothers and sisters. What things out? The things that are in the Scripture. The things that I have taught you. The things that you know to be true. Not these things that you are trying to concentrate on, like your physical body, your aesthetic life, this whole thing. Not these other things that you are focusing on. Not your personal hang-ups. Not these things that I have problems with, not these things that you may have problems with, but the things you know to be concrete, the things you know to be true. Learn these things. Point out these things. Learn to just let go and let God. Exemplify. What does that mean? Be an example. Don't be an example of how to live a life that is tore down and putrefied and poor. Because everybody can do that. I've done that. You've probably done that. This is my sermon to me today. I don't know if you need to hear it, but I need to hear it. Because Timothy was in a spot right here where he had hit the bottom in his leadership as a pastor in Ephesus. He had said to himself, I can't do it. I'm failing. I'm done. I stink. And this letter comes along from Paul to Timothy and says, you can do it. Remember where it comes from. Remember your call. Remember how you had the hands laid on you. You got the power. You got the calling. You got the whole thing from God. It's not a choice that you made. It's not a career choice. It was a calling. You didn't choose this. God chose you. It's no choice in the matter for you. The only choice you have is to live like this or to live with the power of God behind you and to actually be a great leader. Or to be a poor leader because you've chosen not to live under the power of God. So you either exemplify God or you exemplify how it is to live without God. Two choices. Third thing is you attest. You attest to the power of God. The power of God to bring you through the rough times. The power of God to bring you to where you're at. The power of God to bring you to the wonderful place of salvation. The power of God to bring you through the rocks and rills. The power of God to bring you through the valley of hardship where you thought it was all over. And to bring you back up and on top again. Finally, be determined. Don't quit. There's a saying amongst pastors that every pastor quits on Sunday, on Monday and rehires himself on Tuesday. That's why every pastor has Monday off. I don't. So I got to wait until Tuesday to fire myself. Because most pastors will, in some way, shape, or form, be attacked by the enemy and feel like they have failed in some way, shape, or form on Sunday. And it is the most spiritually draining day of their week, Monday or Sunday. And Monday they feel the effects of it somehow. I know, I can attest to that. But you have to be determined to saying on Monday, I'm not going to allow that to get me down. I'm going to focus on other things. And then say on Tuesday morning, we're going to get right back at it. And hit it full steam ahead. Let God handle it. Boom. You know, you all are ministers in your own way, shape, or form. And in some ways, I wish that you all could step into my shoes for a week to see what it's like to be a pastor. Just so you would know some of the things that I go through. Some of you understand, some of you don't, but it's not like you're not sympathetic, not empathetic. But Timothy had Paul, and Paul knew. I have people like Arlen Dulesky, Ron Bryan. I have people like Anthony Newsma who know. Thing is, do I listen to them? That's my choice. So, how do we lead? We need to learn. What do we learn from? We learn from God's Word. We learn from God's voice speaking to us. We pray, we read, we listen. We need to exemplify. We need to be an example. We need to embody everything that we've learned and everything we know to be true about God. Then we need to attest. How many people here actually have told somebody last year about their life being a testimony to the saving grace of Jesus Christ? How many people have shared about their story of salvation to somebody? The best way to lead somebody to Christ is to tell them your story. Not necessarily to lead them through some scriptures in the Bible. It's to tell them how God brought you out of the depths, out of the pits of sin. How many of us have shared those stories with somebody in the last year, in the last 5 years, in the last 10 years? It's nothing to be ashamed of. Actually, it's something to glorify God about. Determine yourself to keep plowing ahead, no matter what gets in your way, no matter how depressed you might get, no matter how many times somebody may tell you, well, I don't like that about that, I don't like this about that, or I really like this, I really like that, how come you don't do that anymore? I got to do what the Lord's telling me to do. I can't live my life by what people are telling me to do. I have to live my life, and you have to live your life by what the Lord's telling you to do. Period. Because you can please some of the people some of the time, and you can please all of the people none of the time. And that's what Paul was trying to tell Timothy. In my life, I have not only had experience in being a leader in the church of people older than me, but as a warehouse and inventory control manager, I led a company where most of the people were at least 20 years older than me. And the one that was directly associated with me as far as who I had to work with to control the inventory, and I was hired to actually try to help change the ways he did things. He was hired to the company on the day, the exact day I was born. And you get there, and you get the, well, we've always done things this way, and it works. Yes, it may work, but I can try to explain to you a way where it may work better or it may work more efficiently. And yes, you may have A get to C, but B can be arranged and adjusted a little bit better to be more efficient and more glorifying to God. So if you'll just bear with me and allow God to work through us, we can lead together and we can learn together and we can exemplify God together as a body of believers. And then we can attest to the world about God's leading and guiding of His church. And then the only way this is going to happen is if we determine ourselves today to allow this to happen and to stay, hate to say it, stay the course. I'm not going to ask you if you're with me, but I'll ask you, are you with God? If you're with God, say amen. Amen. Let's get it. Let's get her done. We got a foundation built. The body is not the body of Christ. The church is not this building, but it's this body. Foundation is laid. The body is arranged in a certain way because God has ordained it to be so.